Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Chris is here.
I am here.
Sarah's here.
I certainly am.
And so are you, ladies and gentlemen, once again in all of our arms.
Let's go.
What an interesting hug that would be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, talking of hugs, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about today.
I was really wondering where you were going now. I was like, hold on, what?
Because maybe mugs are more appropriate for the conversation we're going to have, Sarah.
Oh.
Kings and queens have been prevalent throughout much of human history. In the United Kingdom today, the royal family are always in the news for good and not so good reasons, as we've seen recently. Many around the world love the British royal family, but many
allegedly.
No, I think many do love the British royal family, rightly or wrongly, and many oppose the idea of royalty itself. Republicans, of course, not in the American voting sense. So is the concept of a royal family outdated? What do you reckon, Chris?
This is really hard. I annoyingly will fall on both sides of the fences to this because I don't know if there's an alternative. I don't think a head of state
would the alternative not just be get rid of them? I don't mean kill them. Yeah, I mean,
so,
like,
so I think what replaces
you,
it?
Yeah, so if you do, if you have the Republican system, I actually think if you really look at the head of state, they fulfill that monarch role anyway. I think that they still want the pomp and the pageantry. Yeah.
King Trump, baby!
Well, yeah, there's that. There was
His Royal Highness.
There was when...
he'd love that.
Again, allegedly, but I did read this report saying that when Nicolas Sarkozy was president in France and very high up in the EU... spent something like £221,000 on a shower. So do you know what I mean? If that's not
Is it like having it built or was it like a...
It was just a very big heating bill.
Yeah, yeah. But like if that's not someone acting as a monarch and actually being lavish with everything and all taxpayers' expense,
yep.
Then I'm not really sure what it is. Like,
well, I'll tell you what, there's a brilliant one. So Hungary has a rich history, as a lot of countries do, but a real rich history terms of kings and queens, yeah. All the rest of it, because it's a republic now, it was under Soviet Union, many years ago. And so they have a wonderful palace up in Budapest, if you've ever been there. I thoroughly recommend. And the current guy is called Viktor Orban, who's a piece of work.
I was about to say a piece of work.
You know, he's as close to... well, anyway, let's not get bogged down about that. He's their glorious leader, shall we say, to use sort of terminology. And he said recently, he was like, that palace up there, no one's lived in that for a while, have they?
Exactly.
Yeah, do you know? You wouldn't mind. Now, I'm going to do it. I'm going to move into the palace. It's like, you knobhead.
But this is what,
like, come on, man.
But this is what I get to, you know. I a good friend of mine, I texted, he's a proper Republican. I texted him before and I was like, I'm going to talk on the royal family. What do you reckon, keep or go? And he's like, get rid of it. It's an obsolete class system. Da, 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 da. And I was like, is there an alternative? And even he was like, well, no. So,
but there are alternatives. Republics around the world.
But I think that the head of states act as a monarch would do. I think there's kind of two parts to this. There's the national representation. But they all love a bit of pomp and ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, there's that as well as being the head of a government. And I can't remember who it was. I was desperately trying to find it before. So one commentator was saying, actually, it's helpful to have the two roles split. So we have the royal family, which is all the pomp and the pageantry and allows the prime minister to hopefully actually do the job of running the government.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
so I think supposedly.
That's, yeah. So I think that's where I'm a bit like, oh, okay, well, you know, there are other forms of governments we can get onto later on. But
sure.
Are they obsolete? Oh, I don't know. I think we would still crave it within the public psyche anyway. We would still crave something representational.
Yeah, for my money, and I'm no historian, as you know, I don't think there's been a kind of changing of the guard, if you like, in terms of a country transitioning into a republic in recent times, or certainly not a sort of a prominent or a sort of a bigger nation, as far as I'm aware. But of course, where our monarchy, where the origins of our political system lie, you have to go back hundreds of years to 1642, where the English Civil War, or wars, if you want to be a little bit more accurate,
allegedly,
I suppose.
That was the start of the Enlightenment.
You are French throwing allegedly around, by the way.
Why are you saying allegedly to that? No, Cromwell's not going to, you know, come back. He might do, actually. The spiteful,
it's because I'm in the middle of doing some essays for school, so you can't always be like, this is definitely the case.
Always
have to... equal it up with something.
We're talking about the English
Civil War. Sorry, my head is still doing that.
You don't have to use the word allegedly.
And the French Civil War was the end of the Enlightenment.
Okay, right.
So very important.
Do you mean the Revolution War?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the fighting in the English Civil Wars was between the parliamentarians, of course, and the royalists. And it was all about how the country was being governed.
Yeah.
Because Cromwell, an incredibly divisive character, don't worry, Irish people, I know he was a scumbag.
Allegedly.
Here we go. No, I think we can put the pot
on. Yeah, no, I think we're all right with this.
If you've committed acts of genocide, you tend to be...
pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty not okay.
But that's not the piece of history we're focusing on. But, of course...
That's another fun episode.
One can't forget it, though, and shouldn't forget it. But the outcome of those sort of English civil wars... between 1642 and 1651, effectively sort of would lead us to the system we have now, a constitutional monarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe that this kind of system that was created, you know, in England or now in the UK prevented the kind of revolutions that happened elsewhere in Europe, most notably
France.
That's what
the commentators would say.
Exactly, yeah. So if you are a royalist nowadays and so on, you would say that it was fairly sort of skillful. Was it luck rather than judgment? I don't know, but let's be generous and say it was kind of cleverly done, I suppose. Whether you think that was cleverly done for nefarious reasons, again, I'll leave that up to yourselves. But a constitutional monarchy is a form of monarchy in which the sovereign exercises authority in accordance with a written or unwritten constitution. The UK, obviously, Spain, Belgium, Sweden, and Japan, a constitutional monarchy. So,
Japan?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? You wouldn't think, would you? doing your Alex Ferguson
impression
there.
You go, yeah.
But yeah, that, but the monarch, it doesn't really have any sort of formal authority. They can, but they tend not to.
Technically they can, but they're just not going to.
Exactly.
You just love it if they did it for a laugh.
I just feel like, especially
Prince
recently
Charles
with,
is
all
coming,
the,
people.
With all the shenanigans going on in our government,
if
the Queen was just like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
To be honest, I've had enough of this.
I think in this climate,
together.
I think we'd be up for that.
Yeah. I mean, we've tried everything else.
in the UK, the monarch has three main constitutional rights, according to many people. They may freely exercise the right to be consulted, which, of course, the Prime Minister meets with the Queen on a regular basis, which I quite like, actually.
I like that it's his job to kind of let her know what's happening in her government.
Or her job.
Always tell her the truth.
Come on, Sarah. Well, yeah. the right to encourage and the right to warn, which ultimately falls under the right to be consulted, really. I think. But in other countries, Morocco, Jordan, Kuwait and Bahrain, the monarchs, they have substantial powers. And it's funny, I've been to Jordan. It's a beautiful country. Yeah. Well worth a visit.
Allegedly.
well, I mean, I can't prove it.
sorry. I've let
right, them, let's call
no
it,
more,
call
no
an
more
amnesty
allegedly.
Right now.
Okay, sorry.
Running gag.
But in Jordan, some people, again, I don't know Jordanian history, but some people suggest that actually that they've had a queen, currently I think they have a king, has helped that country with a lot of stability in a region which has had a lot of unstable goings on. Now, there'll be other reasons and so on and so forth, you know.
Well, that would be an argument pro-monarchy, is that it can unite a country,
definitely. Then you've got absolute monarchies. Ooh. Absolute monarchies where the monarch has full control. Now, they became less and less after the French Revolution because I think monarchies thought, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
This is not good. Saudi Arabia is an absolute monarchy, of course. Sarah, control yourself. In biblical times, there were lots of absolute monarchies and all that kind of stuff as well, of course. Yeah. And then this is interesting. There are systems of elective monarchies in history. In Rome, they were selected by assemblies. But in Cambodia and Malaysia, the system is still used. Now, to be honest, there's a lot of fine detail in this. And it really is you're selecting from a particular pot. But I did think to myself, imagine if you could...
Like the way you could be king.
Yeah, imagine if you could campaign to be like an MP and Prime Minister in the way, elect me as king, we all have a vote. I think we'd be quite up for that.
Yeah. who would you vote for?
Do you know what? I had a thought about this.
I knew you would.
I thought to myself.
For who should be our king or queen?
Yeah, I think. I mentioned
Anne and Dec is the king and queen.
Not one for viewers, for listeners outside the UK.
Yeah, yeah. National treasures already.
Do you know what? I might go for Billy Connolly. I've not mentioned him before. It'd be hilarious. Yeah, King Connolly. Sounds a bit like King Kong. King Connolly. I'd be up for that.
See, if I try and think of suitable people, I end up just thinking of all the women who've played the Queen. So I'm like, Helen Mirren.
Get
Olivia
Mirren
Coleman.
In there. Yeah, good one.
Claire
Queen
Foy.
Olivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's where I'm just like, I'm not necessarily picking them because of their governing abilities or anything like that.
Their
just they
abilities.
Make very wonderful queens.
Well, one of the things.
Daniel Radcliffe, have Harry Potter as the king. That'd be amazing.
Dreadful idea. I think.
I don't know, he saved everyone.
He's a prince at most. I think that one of the arguments for the royal family, of course, is the economical reasons. They bring in a lot of tourists, as the Sex Pistols song, you know, God Save the Queen, because tourists mean money.
Indeed.
But that is a big argument, Sarah. You know, you can't deny.
Don't worry, I'm not going to argue immediately.
Well, but these are the official, they're as official.
It looked like, Sarah, she doesn't have sleeves on, but it looked like you're ready to roll up your imaginary sleeves.
Well, they often we hear these figures banded around. So for the whole of 2017, apparently the royal family in the UK cost each taxpayer 69 pence.
How much?
69 pence.
Wow.
Which is probably like a Mars bar somewhere. What would you rather? Would you rather the royal family, or like at the end of the year on New Year's Eve, someone just hands you a free Mars bar?
Oh, I'd rather have a royal family.
Would you?
Because I feel like the paperwork you'd have to do to get your Mars bar would be such a lot of faff. Take the 69p.
Do you know what? Yeah, just give me a speech on Christmas Day. I'll pay 69p for that.
All right, fair enough. Well, some say that's excellent value for money.
Yeah.
This year in 2019, it's gone up. It's going to cost each taxpayer £1.24.
Oh,
that's
outrageous.
Due to the major building works that Buckingham Palace needs, which is going to cost £369 million. Without those works, it would have been 74 pence per taxpayer. There's some dispute over these figures, of course, and so on and so forth. And I appreciate there's dispute over much of this stuff. I mean, the Queen and Prince Charles and other members of the royal family, they do have private incomes as well.
From their estates.
Yes, exactly.
The Duchy Originals biscuits are very nice.
All that business. the Queen and Prince Charles voluntarily paid tax since the early 90s, but some people would say, yes, but it's certain types of taxes. I understand that there are... Yeah. Do your own research, basically, for that. I can't be getting tangled up in that. It's not what we're for. That's not what we're, you know, we're talking more about the kind of, I suppose, the emotional side of it and all that kind of stuff. But some suggest, you know, some, according to one national newspaper, that the monarch's annual contribution to the UK economy in 2017 was around 1.8 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. So there is that financial side of things. Mm. But I suppose to bring it back down to a kind of more base level in which one can comment without being an economist and so on, is what do you actually think? Because, you know, we're British citizens, all three of us. We always have been, unless you've got some sort of interesting past I'm unaware of. but it's always been there. And I can remember, was it the Queen's Jubilee when they went up the Thames on the boat?
Yeah, the Jubilee.
And her and the Duke of Edinburgh were stood up for hours,
for ages,
by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're made of stern stuff. You've got to say that about the royals. But it was absolutely hammering it down with rain. The scene was so typically British. And I was with an Australian friend of mine. Now, I know Australia isn't a republic because they're in that sort of little odd area of
yeah.
It's a sort of a Commonwealthy type vibe, even though we don't think of them as being in a Commonwealth. It's quite a weird thing to say, but the Queen is still some sort of head of state there or something.
Yeah.
However, they are more removed from it, of course, than us. So I look as Australia as good as a republic sometimes in sort of practice, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe I'm quite naive and stupid to say that, but
not for that reason.
There are plenty of other reasons that can be thrown at. But I just said to him, I said, What do you think of this? Or an American would be a better example, of course, because it is a Republican country, a republic. See, what do you think of that? When you see the pomp and ceremony and all the Union flags being waved for these people who the vast majority of us would never meet, we don't really know what they're like, they live lavish lifestyles.
Yeah.
When people in the country, there's obviously sort of poverty, the recent figures that 4.1 million children in the UK live in some sort of relative poverty, blah, de, blah, de, blah. And yet there we are in this old-fashioned, almost sort of this medieval kind of thing right in front of our faces, and so many people are celebrating it as if it's important. A lot of people, of course, are just indoors waiting for the football to come on or whatever. What do you make of that?
I feel so split over it, because I think just my gut instinct is that I like having a royal family.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, things like the Jubilee and, you know, the Olympics when the Queen pretended to parachute in and stuff like that. I was just like, this is great. Like, this is, you know, Britain doing really good stuff, and like, and I loved it. But then, like you say,
you can have an opening ceremony without that.
No, sorry, but I mean, like, that whole thing of just, yeah, and there's our queen, and look at her go, and she's
our national identity, isn't
just,
it?
Yeah. And I really like that. But when you say things like, you know, they're living this lifestyle that is at times obscene, it's so lavish.
And you hear about back in the day, not so much now, since he's been married, of course, but Prince Harry, all these parties, and Prince Andrew, of course, who was often a lot of allegations at the moment about him, and when they're behaving in, not about the allegations, but he had a reputation for being a bit of a party prince.
Was
before.
It Miles Andy or something? Who was known as?
Yeah, something like that, which seems to be the least of his troubles these days. Well, you sort of think to yourself, hang on, what's going on here?
Yeah, and I just think, look, looking at that sort of lifestyle, especially if you're someone who's struggling to make ends meet, and you know, we're arguing over whether, you know, how many millions they can have for whatever, it is a bit galling.
Yeah.
Hey. And one
don't
of
use my name in vain.
It's very Chris galling.
I do apologize. And it's interesting, you know, you were kind of saying that whole they cost us however many pence.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, well, that's nothing. And like, realistically, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But then I had the thought of, well, if every single person in the UK, if that nearly 70 pence or whatever was put towards something good, that could make quite a difference.
We'd have a few hundred million quid.
Yeah. To address all kinds of issues.
But the economic argument, as I say, people immediately hit back of actually the tourism that comes in, the money that's made, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, though, that it's just more elitism, but I think it probably
it's the ultimate elitism.
It underpins elitism, but actually their income is tiny compared to most of these kind of billionaires we're hearing about all the time.
That's kind of what I was thinking, you know, like, yeah, we talk about this lavish lifestyle and stuff, but when you've got people literally driving around London in gold Bentleys, you know, with however many properties and things like that, like, they might as well be royals.
Yeah, because they live that type of lifestyle. Yeah.
But their argument would be that they've earned that money. Now, I know you can, again, unpick those layers and say, have you really probably earned it? Easy. Is it your family? Blah, 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 blah. But there's still some earning that's happened. Whereas with the royal family, they're born into it. And they probably don't really have to work. They could throw a temper tantrum, as we see.
Yeah. But most probably people have been born into the privilege and wealth that enables them to make the money. Not all of them, but I reckon a good majority would do that. I mean, even if we look at our, you know, our cousins, the Americans, you know, they don't have
cousins.
They don't have a monarchy.
Why are they cousins? Yeah. Would Canadians be brothers? Because they're still sort of...
Yeah, I do like Canadians as well.
Do you?
They now have dynasties of presidents, whether it be the Bushes or the Clintons attempting or Trudeau.
Yep.
Like, there's these dynasties that go on anyway. So I just think they're all recruiting from this elite class.
Mm.
And that is probably the major problem, whether it's monarchy or not. Maybe the monarchy underpins the concept of class and the elite class.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, I don't know if I can have a go at them without actually looking at, you know, the tax dodging billionaires that are out there as well.
Okay, so I get that with the economic stuff. But the United States is an interesting comparison, of course. So do you think then that there's almost this need for some sort of special family or some sort of, whether it's held up as an example or whether it's held up as a, maybe not even an example, but a family we can look at and scrutinize and almost quite Truman Show-esque find out what is going on there. Do you feel, because you mentioned the Bushes and the Clintons and these kind of big administrations, I'll tell you what, the bloody Kardashians, you know, something like that. Or
that's a dynasty.
Back in the day, the Osbournes, you know, but I know they're obviously English, but... do you feel that there is a need then? There could be that
public psyche need. You know, for a long time in this country, it's diminished a bit more now. People were obsessed with David Beckham and Victoria Beckham as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They were almost become, you know, did they moniker them King and Queen Becks or something like that?
That's right. Beckingham Palace.
It was almost like, and there's all that stuff. It's almost like this, maybe it's the media thing. I don't know. Maybe it's a distraction tactic from all the other politics.
It's distinctly possible.
I could definitely go on to that again. So, you know, I wonder if, either the media want us to be distracted by pageantry and drama and theatre of these lives, or maybe there is this public need. I mean, Sarah, you work in the media, so you could probably speak clearer on that than I. But like, maybe it is, maybe they're just reflecting that actually we do want that. Maybe we do need this kind of theatre and drama.
I certainly couldn't say that, you know, the media.
I'm always
very wary of saying the media wants X and Y. But I do think there's, as soon as you mentioned this, you know, need to scrutinise and need to know what's going on in those families. I really hate that.
Yeah.
I really object to the way that, you know, oh, look, here's Prince George walking into school. Like, yeah, he's a child. He's going to school. Like, big deal. And like, I just don't see why we need to know all these little details about them. Like, and people say, well, you know, we support the royal family, so we're owed a certain amount of this. And I don't know that we
I have some friends who love the royal family.
I find that odd.
Really love it. And they love like seeing pictures of George and Charlotte and all those guys.
I find
as
that
well.
Strange.
And it's really interesting. Like, I'm not of that ilk, but they are. So I think there is some, there is a big section of our country that does love it.
I'm not a Republican in the UK sort of sense of the word. But I almost want to say, all right, let's get rid of them for a bit and see how that goes. And then, but we can bring
what
them
back. What do you do? Put them all in a bunker somewhere and...
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Well, because there's still a lot of the French royal family before the French Revolution, I think, came to Britain for, they were offered sort of refuge or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you still have a bloodline of the royal family in France.
Mm.
So people know if they, you know,
they're royal
in the sort of a French sense, because no one in France gives a damn. So I do love that French air of I don't give a damn who you are.
If we get away from the frame, I guess the thing is, if we get away from the framework of seeing things through the lens of the economy and what's if it's they're beneficial or not.
Sure.
Do we think that they're
well? Okay, so Prince Andrew's been in the news recently, and during that car crash interview that he gave on the BBC, some people pointed out how strange it was. Now, the allegations are fierce. We're not going to go into them, but the allegations are quite fierce against him.
And he's, just to say, kind of he's very strongly denied any wrongdoing. Just
absolutely.
Make that clear.
No, sure. No, it is important to say. And at the time of recording, that's where we are.
Yep.
And important to say that as well. But after the discussion, I'm sure everyone listening to this is aware of all that kind of stuff. After discussing those allegations and suggestions and so on and so forth were made, the interviewer finishes by going, okay, thank you very much, Your Highness. Mm. Now, anyone else who has that those allegations against them, you're unlikely to end the interview with such high praise sort of thing. But that's built in to who they are. And Your Highness, if you're in the royal family, whether it's like, I don't know, sort of theoretically or in practice, they're higher than you.
I was going to say, there's something about that word when you think about
exactly.
it. You are the highest because, I mean, if we're actually thinking, like, the whole idea of the monarchy going back is that they are chosen by God.
Mm-hmm.
They are this special chosen people.
Mm.
And so it does seem quite jarring to be sort of saying, you know, you've been accused of this and that and whatever.
Mm.
Your Highness.
Because if I, you know, so Prince William and Prince Harry sort of similar ages to you and I, Chris, you know, if we should hang
you're
out.
Very
with
similar
them.
Boys, aren't they? Yeah. Really.
But they are Your Highness sort of thing. Now, they may not want that, and reading between the lines, that maybe they don't. But there is that kind of, although they're better than us, or they're more important. Whereas in a republic, theoretically, everyone is the same.
Yeah, and I think that's something everyone has an opportunity to become the head of state in a republic.
Yes.
As where you have no possibility for that within a monarchy.
Unless you marry in.
Unless you marry in.
Which sounds like the worst deal ever. Like, look at the way people like, you know, Meghan and Kate and all
that
have
been
treated.
But they still won't be the head of the state, though, if you marry in. I understand that they can get a popular position. They could be a prince or a princess or something. You know, very, very interesting. I mean, I don't know if you've watched the Netflix series The Crown. The royals don't come across too well there, but you know, we don't want to sort of dabble away too much in fiction. But still, there's a little bit of truth in there, I think.
Thought you were going to talk about the royal family with Jim Royal.
I know you're talking. But I mean, something you touched on earlier, Chris. Does the monarchy bring political stability to the UK? Because I don't like. So having said that about. In a republic, everyone is equal.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of the prime minister or the president being the highest or most important person in the country. I like the fact that the prime minister has to bow when the queen walks into the room. It's kind of like, just you remember, Sonny Jim.
Yeah.
Or, you know, young lady, that you are not the most important. There's not going to be a young lady.
It reminds them of the need to be humble.
Yeah. Now, whether in practice that really does follow through, but in theory, it's there.
Yeah.
So you do have that. And I do quite like that. But I think I think Queen Elizabeth II. Mm-hmm. I'm right in saying that, aren't I? Yep. Well, he's currently in. She has, by, you know, whatever side of the fence you fall on, she's done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And has done it for so long.
She has been steady.
Yes.
You know,
strong and steady leadership. She's
oh boy.
Is what we crave in this country. So do you think it is? Go on, sorry, Chris.
No, I was gonna say I think using her as an example, it's the interesting thing is the connection between the church and state when you have a monarch as well. And obviously when you get rid of that, then it's separated as well, which brings it to a whole other discussion as well. And I think, part of me, believe it or not, thinks there probably should be a complete separation of church and state.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Which you have in France.
So I can see the arguments for it. However, I actually don't think whichever model is in play, mm-hmm. I don't think it changes anything.
Yeah.
I still think that, you know, using a republic, it's abuse of power is the problem, isn't it? Mm. So whoever's in the top position, whatever we call it, and you know, in France, you know, atheism rose in France in their war. What do you call
it? The French Revolution.
But again, that was like science became the new religion then, and beforehand the clerics would save humanity, and now it's science and all this sort of stuff. The same, actually, if you go through the attributes, it's all the same. It's just a different label or a different agenda, but essentially it's the abuse of power from the top which is the problem.
And that goes down to the individuals in charge, because we've talked about France and Sarkozy, and you talk about America and well, obviously Trump in charge, but other administrations. But actually,
but commentators would say a lot of the American presidents. I think the BBC did a brilliant article. There's lists of you know, right from Roosevelt and all those. They all got accused of acting like a monarch.
Exactly. Now I don't know what it would be, but so we use those examples of republics. But actually, if you look at the Republic of Ireland or maybe Germany, you know, in the last sort of decade or two, seems pretty stable. I'm sure that maybe Irish or German people may be able to turn around and go, actually, no, we've had our problems, and everybody does.
Yeah.
But I don't look at, say, those two countries and think, nah, royal family will help you out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it ultimately depends.
Germany's a difficult one, though. And I was in Germany about 10 years ago. I remember having a fantastic chat with some students. Mm. And their struggle is to be proud of their national identity because of the wars. Mm. So actually they felt, I think the World Cup was in Germany, was it 2006?
2006.
And I think that was when I was there, and they were really looking forward to being able to proudly wave their flag, because they actually felt they couldn't, because it would, there is a difference between patriotism and nationalism.
Yes.
And I think there's a fine line, isn't there, between being proud of your country and then just also wanting to screw over all the other countries.
Yeah.
So I think there is a unique country to look at in terms of trying to refine their national identity, recovering from quite a traumatic past.
But in Germany, it's an interesting situation because you can't look back with nostalgia because it was so obvious. Yeah. And in Britain, we shouldn't look back at some things because Britain has done some awful things in history. It's painfully obvious to see. But because it's not been called out as so emphatically, if you like, as the way it has been in Germany, but Britain used to own a third or half the world or whatever the bloody hell it was.
Largest numerical empire.
Yeah, exactly, and all that sort of stuff. And you think, no, but maybe monarchy, there's an element of, it sort of comes into that.
Away from, sorry, to slightly take a left turn here, from kind of the economic side, the stability side, of course, I also do think individually some of the royal family have done really great stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think that's probably where I do like them.
Yeah.
Is that they have championed causes. So like Prince Harry especially has done a lot around mental health and kind of talking about both him and Prince William talking about grief.
Mm-hmm. Invictus Games and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think the mental health conversation, especially I think because they're men, there's still a lot more to be done there around getting, you know, people, especially men, talking about their mental health. But I've really admired that work. And so I kind of think that if we are having these sort of figureheads, to have them stand for something that is, you know, really positive like that, I've got a lot of time for that. And you know what, like William and Harry especially are very cagey around their privacy and sort of, you know, many people would say understandably. So to be vulnerable and open and honest like that, I did admire that.
Would I be naive in thinking that that's where they're going now as a royal family, that actually the idea is that they are those figureheads for good causes?
I think that it would make sense.
Is that naivety?
Well, Prince Charles has said sorry, if I'm understanding what you're saying, Prince Charles has said when apparently when he becomes king, because he's the next in line, Regent, he will trim down the royals. Yeah. Mm. He'll get some people off the bill. But also...
We'll be back down to 50 pence each.
Indeed, yeah, yeah.
Only a fun-sized Mars bar?
Yes. Yeah, or Fredo, by the way. Maybe. But, I mean, there was that moment in history, which was documented in The Crown, where the I forget his name, the fellow said, look, you know, you need to change the royal family. People said, ah, you're a disgrace. And he went, no, I'm actually a royalist. But you need to open the gates of the palace and let people in. And you need to be more this, that, and the other. And the palace did that and made it a little bit more accessible. Now, people may laugh at the thought of it. Accessible? You're being serious.
Yeah.
But it, that was how bad it was back in the past. You know?
And I think just, you know, especially that generation, you know, William and Harry and Kate and Meghan and all of that, they have really tried, you know, even just like they're very active on social media now and that kind of thing has made them seem... I would struggle with accessible, but just a little, you get a bit more about them as a person rather than as a figure sitting on a throne with a crown.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done a lot more outreach stuff in terms of, so, I mean, this is my personal royal story.
Oh, go on.
Kate's basically my best mate.
Really?
Yeah. Me and the Duchess of Cambridge. So she came and guest edited the website. I used to work at HuffPost.
Oh, yeah.
And she was our guest editor for a day.
Oh, right.
So I got to go to Kensington Palace. Mm-hmm. And we sort of set up a little newsroom there.
Oh, that's
good. And you know what? Actually, I was quite surprised. She was very kind of normal.
Yeah.
And I know that's, you know, it's not exactly a high benchmark, but it wasn't, you know, this weird stilted.
Was she finishing off her McDonald's when you arrived?
Chucked it on the floor. Doesn't
Who
care.
Wants a gherkin? I don't want it.
Outside having a tab.
Yeah.
You got the scores. You got the scores update.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was that thing of kind of just... feeling a little bit more, and there must be a better word than accessible that's escaping me, but
a bit more real, I suppose.
A bit more real and a bit less like just this sort of wooden figure who nobody could ever dream of speaking to. And so for me, if they're going to be doing good things like standing up for causes, and you know, like you could talk about Princess Diana,
well, absolutely,
you know, who was very very instrumental in sort of breaking down barriers around people with HIV and things
Landmines
like that.
Landmines as well, was it?
Exactly, yeah, yes. So, yeah, for me, I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm very split, but that kind of thing I do admire.
And people can say, oh, well, they still got up to this, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but you can label that to anyone.
Exactly.
Well,
that's my point, actually, is that, you know, that everybody messes up all the time. Mm.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they are in the public eye, so then they get a spotlight shine on them. But the same as, you know, anyone else who's in the elite. You know, if a footballer or a movie star messes up, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And the idea that, like, holding someone to this weird standard of, like, oh, well, you know, Kate, topless sunbathed, like, all right, big deal.
Yeah.
Like, they're just people at
so
the end of
William.
The day.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, you've got to treat everybody so differently.
Yeah,
is my only thing. This was an interesting one. So in Thailand, their king died. I think it was 3 years ago, and the whole country just shut down.
Mm.
You know, and because you know, in this country, I mean, one of the perks is when Prince William and Kate got married, we had a day off, didn't we?
Yeah,
did we?
Yeah.
We had a day off. I was at uni.
But the Thai king, he died, and the whole country shut down. The Football League finished three rounds early.
I remember hearing
two teams were relegated when they had a fighting chance of staying up.
Oh.
The league was over. See you later. Whoever's top now, you're done. And you've won the league.
Oh.
Ridiculous behaviour. Get them out.
Indeed.
Not fit for purpose. No, but I think, you look, to sort of sum up, I suppose, I think what we're saying is, you know, hold it lightly.
Yeah.
Don't go, because I don't understand people who, I love the Royals. It's like, really? For me, they're there.
Yeah.
If we're having a revolution, let's have a bloody revolution. All right? And I'm up for that. But if we're
stuff,
not, let's get...
Do some bad stuff.
They wouldn't be the ones I'd get rid of first.
Would you be up for a revolution?
Well, part of me would like a peaceful revolution.
Mm.
But if there was one, I don't think that changing them would make any difference to the country. I think it's changing other people. I will stop there.
I think we should all stop because I'm now trying to get a revolution going. A rebel without a cause. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're on social media at AQQA Pod. Of course, we are. Get us over there. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Nice one.
Your Royal Highnesses. And thank you very much, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Allegedly.